Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, January 30th, 2020. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined, Macon County Sheriff's Election, Sheriff's Race to Get Recount. 40,000 ballots to be counted, judge's order expected, by Tony Reed. Decatur. A legal battle over results of the November 2018 Macon County Sheriff's election has been placed on hold, and there will now be a hand recount of all ballots, according to a joint statement from Sheriff Tony Brown and his challenger, Lieutenant Jim Root. The big question now is whether this recount will finally settle the results of the election, which gave victory to the Democrat Brown by just one vote over Root, a Republican. Lawyers for both sides said that all depends on how the painstaking review of some 40,000 individual ballots turns out. One looming possibility is that the recount will simply leave the parties back where they started, arguing over a few disputed ballots. Asked that question, John Fogerty, the attorney representing Root, said Wednesday, "There will likely be ballots that we will argue over, but depending on where the actual count is, those arguments may not be necessary. If we are arguing over two ballots, and the margin is 10, you know, then it won't matter." Fogerty said the crucial first step to resolving the election was having an accurate and precise recount to better show Root and Brown where they stand. The advantage for all parties would be that then we will know who had got what cards, what hand, and that, I think, helps everybody along by kind of streamlining the process. Chris Scherer, the attorney representing Brown, agreed that the path forward will be a lot clearer once there is a thorough and complete recount. He said both parties had spent the last week working on a recount agreement, and he expected the Champaign County judge brought in to handle the dispute election case would soon issue an order authorizing the recount. Asked if we're talking days before that order is issued, he said, "I would think so, but I'm not 100% sure. There are multiple people involved in this, and we are all trying to coordinate and row in the same direction." Scherer's Springfield office had issued a press statement announcing the recount after the Herald and Review asked about the status of the legal petition that Root had filed in December 2018. Root confirmed separately that he had also authorized the press statement. The statement came after a trial in Urbana over disputed ballots was due to get underway Monday in front of Champaign County Circuit Judge Anna M. Benjamin. A court docket entry dated Wednesday said the trial had been vacated after a telephone conference between the lawyers and representation the parties have reached a preliminary agreement, a reference to the recount. The statement said that recount will be conducted by Macon County Clerk Josh Tanner, who was himself elected November 2018 and did not handle the initial election or discovery recount. While both Brown and Root maintain their positions with respect to the election contest, both agree that conducting a full-hand recount at this juncture will aid in the disposition of the election contest and ultimately benefit the citizens of Macon County, the statement said. Tanner said he was aware of the recount agreement, but said he had to await the judge's formal order before he could proceed. He said the recount will come at taxpayers' expense and might run to several thousand dollars, depending on how many sets of election judges are involved. A set of judges is one Democrat, one Republican, and Tanner said he has a long list of such judges to choose from who are appointed for two-year terms. My election judges are paid $10 an hour, so it's not terribly expensive for my part, he added. Logistically, however, fitting in a recount of a major election, with another election looming in March, and with early voting starting February 6th, wasn't great timing for his office, Tanner said. The county clerk said he will have a lot of logistical and other details to work out with the sheriff's race attorneys once he receives the judge's order for the recount. Asked how unusual such a recount was in a race of this size, Tanner said, "It's relatively rare. It does happen, but it is rare." The final 2018 election tally had seen Brown, who had been a lieutenant with the sheriff's office, declared the winner by a margin of 19,655 to Root's tally of 19,654 votes after all provisional and mail-in ballots were counted. Root, a Republican who continues to serve as a lieutenant with the sheriff's office, had held a 99-vote advantage on Election Day. Root challenged the results and asked the Macon County Circuit Court judge to name him to the office. Root and local GOP officials have said there is evidence of multiple errors made during the election and had sought to persuade the judge that the wrong person was named sheriff. State of the State, Pritzker Urges Action to Restore the Public's Trust in Government, by John O'Connor, Associated Press, Springfield. Governor J.B. Pritzker delivered his first State of the State address Wednesday, talking tough about ending fraud and graft in a state notorious for corruption, and urging support for such contentious ideas as halting the time-honored practice of lawmakers leaving the legislature to immediately become lobbyists. Speaking a day after former Democratic Senator Martin Sandoval pleaded guilty to accepting $250,000 in bribes to protect local cities' red-light camera enforcement programs, and following federal criminal charges against two other Democratic lawmakers, the Democratic governor called lawmakers to urgent action to restore the public's trust in our government. In addition to a prohibition of the so-called revolving door of lawmakers-turned-lobbyists, Pritzker suggested halting the practice of legislators working as lobbyists to other government bodies and beefing up disclosure of officeholders' conflict of interest. We must root out the purveyors of greed and corruption. In both parties, whose presence infects the bloodstream of government, Pritzker said. It's no longer enough to sit idle while under-the-table deals, extortion, or bribery persist. The details, however, he left to the Ethics Commission the General Assembly created in November. It's due to report its recommendations by March 31st. In his first year in office, Pritzker accomplished virtually all his campaign goals with a balanced budget, a multi-billion-dollar statewide construction program, legalized marijuana use, a $15 minimum wage, and legislative permission to ask voters in November whether to switch to an income tax structure that hits the wealthier harder. Despite a tough campaign to win voter approval for the tax switch, Pritzker gave only passing notice to what he calls the fair tax. He also said too little, at least for Republicans' comfort, about the state's crushing property tax system. Instead, he promoted Illinois and basked in the afterglow of his successful inaugural year, generously sharing credit with Republicans. He said bipartisan 7 times in a 34-minute speech. It was more about the work and the hope and the optimism than about the details, explained House Majority Leader Greg Harris, a Chicago Democrat who will be listening next month when Pritzker delivers his budget plan. House Minority Leader Jim Durkin shared his GOP colleague's chagrin at the attention the governor gave to property taxes and economic growth. But the Western Springs Republican was pleased with Pritzker's remarks on ethics, particularly, he said, given the details of the Sandoval plea agreement and the filing in federal court this month of a document which suggests a forthcoming guilty plea by former Chicago Democratic Representative Luis Arroyo on a bribery charge. We have lost the confidence of Illinois citizens. We do it year in, year out because of bad behavior, Durkin said. We constantly have to ask ourselves whether or not we're doing enough to police ourselves. Clearly, not enough. Durkin supports a revolving door ban, which in many states involves a cooling off period, often of a year or more, between legislating and lobbying. GOP lawmakers, not enough specifics. Republicans call for property tax relief, by Annalisa Trofimuk and Kennedy Nolan, Decatur. Reaction to Governor J.B. Pritzker's State of the State speech broke mostly along party lines among central Illinois lawmakers Wednesday, with the sides having some common ground on calls for property tax and ethics reforms. Democrats praised investments in infrastructure and efforts to improve public education. Republicans said the first-term governor was light on specifics and did not focus enough on some key issues, like property tax relief. It is a perfect storm of high taxes, bad economic policies, and a far-left social agenda that are driving people out of the state in droves, said Representative Brad Holbrook, a Republican of Shelbyville, who has been part of an effort to split Chicago from the rest of the state. Instead of addressing these problems, the only thing I heard today is the governor's commitment to do more of the same. It is no wonder that so many people are interested in the process to separate from Chicago. Pritzker, during the address, highlighted the efforts of Senator Andy Menar, a Bunker Hill Democrat, who worked with the governor on legislation that capped the price of insulin. Skyrocketing costs have been a major challenge for diabetics who need insulin to survive. The law Pritzker signed earlier this month caps the cost at $100 for a 30-day supply. The governor expressed his support for that bill really early on, and that was critical, said Menar, whose district includes Decatur. It just caps the out-of-pocket cost. It's an insurance reform. He said the bill was passed quickly and won't cost the state anything. The measure was among policy achievements listed by Pritzker, who said he and lawmakers had worked together to do big things to help people, real people, who live and work here every day. Menar said Pritzker made a strong case for bipartisanship accomplishments over the past 12 months and laid the foundation for this year's goals. Ethics reform and redistricting. Pritzker stressed his intention to root out corruption in state government, saying bribery, extortion, and under-the-table deals must come to an end, along with the culture that tolerates them. He was speaking a day after Democratic Senator Martin Sandoval pleaded guilty to accepting $250,000 in bribes. Menar said Pritzker appropriately highlighted the need for meaningful ethics reform in the General Assembly and state government. Republican lawmakers felt differently, saying there was a major omission, a commitment to a proposal they call Fair Maps, which would take the power of drawing legislative districts out of the hands of lawmakers and give it to an independent commission. State Senator Chapin Rose, Republican of Mahomet, said Pritzker should have addressed the issue. As long as legislators draw districts for their own self-interest, problems will continue, he said. His speech didn't have a single word devoted to Fair Maps, and I think he missed a major opportunity, said Rose. It's beyond time to give the people of Illinois their state back. State Representative Dan Calkins, a Decatur Republican, said he appreciated the governor's attention on the subject. But he said Republicans had already proposed solutions that should have been acted on during the fall legislation veto session. State Senator Dale Ryder, a Mattoon Republican, said the governor missed an opportunity to tell Illinois residents that the Democratic Party is the problem. Economic growth, property taxes. Pritzker said the state's economy is strong and growing every day. The economy supports 6.2 million jobs, he said, and every major region is growing. He touted the $45 billion statewide construction program approved by lawmakers last spring, as well as new investments in job creation, health care, and education in the state's $40 billion budget. Menar and Representative Sue Shearer, a Decatur Democrat, lauded the progress on infrastructure and education. The Rebuild Illinois plan to improve infrastructure statewide will create middle-class careers with wages and benefits, according to Pritzker. It also includes funding to U.S. 51 through Decatur. Shearer said the investment is vital. The plan will create 500,000 jobs, and that is a wonderful thing, she said. Shearer also commended the forward progress on the statewide teacher shortage. Pritzker, during his speech, said in order to combat the shortage, they raised the minimum teacher salary and made it easier for high school graduates to get a skilled wage by expanding vocational training, career and technical education for the first time in a decade. Shortages in Decatur public schools are prevalent, with over 70 open positions in the district as of November. Menar referred 2019 as a banner year for education, citing the minimum teacher salary wage raise. But Holbrook said that state's job growth was a result of the economy under Republican President Donald Trump, and the state's economy could have seen more growth if the government did a better job balancing the budget. The reason we do not see the governor outlining any specific ideas on how to fix pensions or how to lower property taxes is because the only way we can legitimately accomplish these goals would be to reduce spending, he said. And the Democrat majority in the House and the Senate, along with the governor, have no interest in meaningful spending reforms. Property tax relief for homeowners has been a major focus for Republican lawmakers, and Pritzker said it's a high priority for his administration. In December, he signed legislation that he said will help alleviate the burden by consolidating 650 downstate and suburban pension systems into two. Decatur City officials, who have struggled for years with the rising cost of public safety pensions, have praised the move. Calkins, however, said the measure might not solve the problem. He thinks that this consolidation we did last year is going to be a solution to our property taxes, and in fact, we're not even sure it's going to work, Calkins said. Reiter also said the governor did not spend enough time talking about property taxes. The governor has repeatedly expressed concern for property taxes and how they are crushing the middle class, Reiter said. The governor spent 30 seconds talking about property taxes. Rose said he had hoped to hear more emphasis on the issue. I definitely would have liked to hear more specifics from the governor on the issue of property tax relief for working families, he said. Impeachment trial. Ukraine trade defended by Lisa Mascaro, Eric Tucker, and Zeke Miller, Associated Press, Washington. In a striking shift from President Donald Trump's claims of perfect dealings with Ukraine, his defenders asserted Wednesday at his Senate trial that a trade of U.S. military aid for political favors, even if proven, could not be grounds for his impeachment. Trump's defense spotlighted retired professor Alan Dershowitz, a member of their team, who said that every politician conflates his own interest with the public interest. Therefore, he declared, it cannot be impeachable. The Republicans are still hoping to wind up the impeachment trial with a rapid acquittal. Democrats are pressing hard for the Senate to call additional witnesses, especially Trump's former National Security Advisor, John Bolton. Bolton's forthcoming book contends he personally heard Trump say he wanted military aid withheld from Ukraine until it agreed to investigate Joe Biden and his son Hunter, the abuse of power charge that is the first article of impeachment. As Chief Justice John Roberts fielded queries in an unusual question-and-answer session, Texas Republican Ted Cruz asked, "Does it matter if there was a quid pro quo?" "Simply no," declared Dershowitz, who said that many politicians equate their reelection with the public good. "That's why it's so dangerous to try to psychoanalyze a president," he said. Representative Adam Schiff, the Democrat leading the House prosecutors, appeared stunned. "All quid pro quos are not the same," he retorted. "Some might be acceptable, some not. And you don't need to be a mind reader to figure out which is which. For one thing, you can ask John Bolton." With voting on witnesses later this week, Democrats, amid the backdrop of protesters swarming the Capitol, are making a last-ditch effort to sway Republicans to call Bolton and other witnesses to appear for testimony and ensure a fair trial. Trump faces charges from the House that he abused his power like no other president, jeopardizing Ukraine and U.S.-Ukraine relations by using the military aid as leverage while the vulnerable ally battled Russia. The second article of impeachment says Trump then obstructed the House probe in a way that threatened the nation's three-branch system of checks and balances. The 2 days set aside for questions, Wednesday and Thursday, are allowing each side to grill the House Democrats prosecuting the case and the Republican president's defense team. Dozens of questions were asked and answered in rapid-fire fashion on Wednesday, with senators under orders to sit silently without comment, submitting their questions in writing. Democratic leader Chuck Schumer asked whether the Senate could really render a fair verdict without hearing from Bolton or acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, both potential eyewitnesses to Trump's actions. "Don't wait for the book. Don't wait till March 17, when it is in black and white, to find out the answer to your question, Schiff told the Senate. Lee makes deal to buy BH Media Properties. Herald and Review, Davenport, Iowa. Lee Enterprises, the parent company of the Herald and Review, will buy Berkshire Hathaway's news publications for $140 million, the company said Wednesday. The deal covers 31 newspapers in 10 states, as well as 49 paid weekly publications with digital sites and 32 other print products. News organizations included in the sale are the Omaha World Herald in Nebraska, the Buffalo News in New York, the Tulsa World in Oklahoma, and the Winston-Salem Journal in North Carolina. As part of the agreement, Lee will enter into a 10-year lease for BH Media's Media Group's real estate. Lee Enterprises has been managing BH Media Publications since July 2018. Warren Buffett, Berkshire's chairman and CEO, said he and his partner, Charlie Munger, have long admired Lee. We had zero interest in selling the group to anyone else for one simple reason. We believe that Lee is best positioned to manage through the industry's challenges, Buffett said. Buffett is the father of philanthropist and former Macon County Sheriff Howard Buffett. Berkshire Hathaway is providing about $576 million in long-term 9% financing to Lee, which Lee will use to pay for the Berkshire properties and refinance Lee's approximately $400 million in existing debt. Berkshire will be Lee's sole lender after the deal closes. This is a compelling and transformative transaction for Lee, said Mary Dunk, Lee's chairman. It both refinances our long-term debt on attractive terms and provides new revenue opportunities as well as operational synergies across an expanded portfolio. Lee's portfolio will grow to 81 daily papers and nearly double its audience size, the company said. The deal is expected to close in mid-March. Help sought at Hope Academy by Annalisa Trofimuk, Decatur. A new committee is looking for volunteers to help at Hope Academy, which has been dealing with a shortage of educators and other issues. The Help Hope Committee was formed by retired teachers, residents, and district leadership in response to concerns raised by parents and staff during recent school board meetings. Hope Academy principal Sarah Schroeder said they are hoping to recruit as many volunteers as possible. The idea is to find community members who are committed to help young people learn. A total of 206 one-hour time slots are available in classrooms in first through fifth grades. Volunteers will have to pass a background check. I think that individuals can learn from one another, given their different experiences, said the Reverend Courtney Carson, a school board member. A teacher with 40 years of experience volunteering in the classroom could teach those with less experience as well as help the students from a different perspective. Volunteers could help address issues discussed earlier this month by district leadership and parents, such as the impact of the teacher shortage and the growing student population stretching resources. The Herald and Review on January 19th reported that district officials plan to meet with teacher union representatives to discuss ways to solve the shortage issue. The school housed 560 kindergarten to eighth graders when it was opened 15 years ago and has 737 today. The Decatur School District, like many across the country, has faced difficulty hiring qualified educators and has responded by having various recruiting efforts. Illinois has an estimated 1,800 vacancies statewide. We just need some extra support in the classrooms, and we want people to come forward with any sort of skill they have that could be used to engage students, said Assistant Superintendent of Teaching and Learning Jeff Dace. He announced during the school board meeting Tuesday that the new group was being formed. Volunteer Melverta Wilkins said she wants to get local organizations involved. She's a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority and founder of 501c3 Sista, Girls and Friends. I've heard a lot of what's going on here at Hope Academy and what's needed, and so I would like to try to pull some of the organizations I am in to see if they can get involved. the committee, Wilkins said. The committee meeting Wednesday was preceded by two volunteer orientations. The next one is Wednesday at 5 p.m. at Hope Academy, 955 North Illinois Street. The Help Hope Academy Committee will meet again on Tuesday at 6 p.m. at Hope Academy. Woman faces charge after found with meth by Kennedy Nolan, Decatur. A 30-year-old Decatur woman is facing a Class X felony drug charge after police say they found over 1.6 ounces of methamphetamine in her purse during a traffic stop Tuesday evening. Sergeant Chris Copeland said members of the Decatur Police Department Community Action Team conducted a traffic stop around 6:45 p.m. at the intersection of South Maffitt and East Wood Streets after a vehicle failed to signal 100 feet before turning. Copeland said the vehicle was occupied by four people. Officers took one man into custody, who they say had a persons wanted for aggravated battery and failed to appear in court for an obstructing justice charge. According to a sworn affidavit, the 30-year-old woman had an active traffic warrant out of Douglas County. A canine unit was called in to conduct a sniff for reasons unknown, Copeland said. Located inside of the 30-year-old woman's purse was two separate baggies of field-tested positive methamphetamine, weighing a total of 46.7 grams, or about 1.65 ounces. A sworn affidavit said the woman claimed the purse and the contents, but declined to comment as to what exactly was in the purse. She was arrested and booked into the Macon County Jail. She is facing a preliminary Class X felony charge of possession of methamphetamine with intent to deliver. Bail was set at $80,000, meaning she needs $8,000 to bond out of the Macon County Jail. State fines nursing home $25,000. Herald and Review, Decatur. The operator of a Decatur nursing home, fined $25,000 by the state, is disputing the allegations. The fine is for Generations at McKinley Place, a 195-bed facility at 2530 North Monroe Street, now called Prairie Creek Village. In a report, the Illinois Department of Public Health said workers failed to complete daily skin checks, monitor and treat a pressure injury, implement pressure-relieving interventions, assess the risk of skin breakdown, and transcribe a physician's order for wound treatment and monitoring into the resident's medical record. The survey was completed in September and released this week. The Herald and Review contacted the local facility for reaction to the fine. Prairie Creek Village Administrator Karen Williams read a response from the corporate office of Generations Healthcare Network that said, "Prairie Creek Village takes pride in the services we provide our residents. The facility strives to provide compassionate, quality care to each of our residents that walks through our doors. The facility vigorously disputes the violation as written and has requested a hearing to contest the matter. We cannot comment further on pending litigation." We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, January 30th, 2020. Please stay tuned.